Let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to the 11th chapter of the prophecy of Daniel. We are nearing the end of our series of studies in this wonderful prophecy, and I hope that it has been at least a part of the blessing to you that it has been to me to consider this great prophecy of Daniel again. As I have been saying from time to time, Daniel is an unusual prophecy in this respect, that it is not primarily a prophecy of Christ, but rather a prophecy of the Antichrist. And for that reason, it is rather unusual among the prophets. Isaiah, for example, has as his great theme the unveiling of the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Daniel has as his theme the identification of the Antichrist to come. And so he stands out in that way as a prophecy. If you will remember, the progress of the argument has been something like this. And I say this for the benefit of a number in our audience tonight who have not been here for the entire series. I notice quite a few visitors. In the second chapter of this wonderful prophecy, Nebuchadnezzar's vision was unfolded. And you remember the vision was of a great image, an image made out of four metals. And each of the metals stood for a kingdom that would arise over the earth: the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and the Roman. You see, this gives me an opportunity to repeat that again. And it's quite a joke among those who've been here every time, because everyone who's been here since the beginning knows at least the four kingdoms that shall arise and have control over the earth. And you'll remember that in that second chapter, the end of the image was portrayed in this way, that a great stone cut out without hands, that is, with supernatural origin, comes down, smites the image upon its feet, and the image becomes chaff and is blown away like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, Daniel tells us. The design of that prophecy was to reveal the times of the Gentiles, which began with the taking of Jerusalem by Nebuchadnezzar and end with the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And Daniel reveals that in that period of time between 605 B.C. and the second coming of Christ, there shall be four great worldwide kingdoms, the kingdoms that I have just named. At the conclusion of the reign of the fourth kingdom, our Lord shall come and establish his own kingdom upon the earth. For the stone that was cut out without hands came and smote the image and then became a great stone itself and a great mountain itself and filled the whole earth. And so Daniel then gives us a general outline of all that shall happen from the time that the city was taken until the time that the Lord comes in his second coming to the earth. We have seen all through, those of us who've been here every time, that the church of the Lord Jesus, composed of those who have believed in him, not necessarily the Baptist church or the Methodist church or an independent church or whatever the name may be, but those who have believed in the Lord Jesus, who make up the true church, his body, they shall be taken out before the time of the great tribulation and the setting up of our Lord's millennial kingdom, which follows that. Then in the seventh chapter, Daniel gives us some additional information. And I've said that what he is doing through this prophecy is giving a general picture at the beginning and then filling in details as he goes along. In the seventh chapter, we had the prophecy of the four beasts, which we saw was God's way of looking at the four kingdoms that should arise upon the earth. Man sees the kingdoms of the earth as a great image with magnificent display of glory through the gold, silver, and other materials out of which it was made. But when God looks down at the kingdoms of the Gentiles, he sees four wild beasts, and we saw the four wild beasts of Daniel chapter 7. We saw that each of the beasts stood for one of the kingdoms: the Babylonian, the Medo-Persian, the Grecian, and then the last named one, the nondescript beast, which we have seen to be the Roman. We have also seen that these kingdoms extend to the second coming of Christ, but that the fourth kingdom has two stages. The stage in which it existed at the time that our Lord came at his first coming, and the way in which it shall exist at his second coming, that being pictured by the toes of the image in the first vision, and then also by the 10 horns that arose out of the fourth beast of the second picture in Daniel chapter 7. In this seventh chapter, however, a detail was added which was not found in chapter 2. And that was the detail concerning the little horn. And we saw that out of the 10 horns, out of one of them arose a little horn. And that little horn stood for the king of that fourth kingdom in its last stage upon the earth at the second coming, near the second coming of our Lord Jesus. And we saw that that particular thing was added. And we saw then that the king who was to arise upon the earth, being the Antichrist, would be a king of the fourth kingdom, that is, the Roman one. In chapter 8, Daniel gives us the vision of the ram and the he-goat, the ram representing Persia and the he-goat representing Greece. And again, our picture narrows, and we see in this particular vision that the little horn comes out of the he-goat, which represents Greece. And we know that in the last days from this, that the Antichrist will arise out of the Grecian aspect of the Roman kingdom, because the Roman kingdom, being a universal kingdom, swallowed up the Grecian. And in the latter days, the same thing shall be true. It shall include that which was controlled by Alexander and his Grecian worldwide empire. So that this tells us that the Antichrist, while he is to be within the Roman Empire revived, he is to come from the Grecian locality within that Roman Empire. And so we learn a further thing about the Antichrist to come. Now in Daniel chapter 9, in the great prophecy of the 77s, which we saw was a vision that had to do with chronology, we saw that Daniel added some features that needed to be added, and he showed us that there was to be a great interval of time between our Lord's first coming and his crucifixion and the second coming, or rather, shall I say, between the time that the tribulation begins and his first coming. That period of time is an indefinite period of time, and we are living today within that parenthesis. The last of the 70 weeks, the 7 years that are to come, are in the future. At a certain time, God will take up his dealings with Israel again and finish his purpose. The Antichrist shall arise, he shall be overthrown, the Lord shall set up his kingdom. And the 6 things mentioned in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 24 shall be fulfilled then. Now in chapter 10, which we considered last Sunday night, we saw that Daniel received an angelic messenger who is to give him a message called the Scripture of Truth. Will you turn now to Daniel chapter 10 and verse 21? And here we have the theme statement of the last 3 chapters of this book of Daniel. We read in verse 21 that the angel says, "But I will show thee that which is noted in the Scripture of Truth, and there is none that holdeth with me in these things but Daniel your prince." So the angel tells us that the last 3 chapters are called the Scripture of Truth. That is the title for his message. Now we're going to look tonight at the first part of that message. It takes us right through to Daniel chapter 12 and verse right on through the end of the chapter. As a matter of fact, this is the last message, but we're going to divide it up into 2 parts, taking chapter 11 tonight, then chapter 12 next Sunday night, the Lord willing, and conclude the prophecy then. So let's look tonight at Daniel 11. This particular chapter, giving us the opening prophecy of the Scripture of Truth, has as its theme three things. First, the angel gives Daniel information concerning Persia, Grecia, and certain historic kings which have already arisen. And he does that in the beginning at verse 2 and going through verse 20 of chapter 11. Now, I'm not going into detail here because it is unimportant as far as the prophetic picture that Daniel is painting is concerned. But he talks about Persia in verse 2 and gives Daniel certain information about the kingdom that is to arise soon after the kingdom in which he is living himself. Then he gives him information about Grecia in verses 3 and 4, or Greece. And he tells about how Alexander shall arise and how his kingdom shall be divided into four parts, each one being given to one of his generals, as we know, transpired according to history. Then, beginning at verses 5 and going through verse 20, he gives us an outline of the historic now, wars between the Ptolemies of Egypt and the Seleucidae of Syria. And we have known from history that Daniel's prophecy was fulfilled to the ultimate degree. As a matter of fact, Daniel's prophecy, which was a prophecy at the time he wrote, but is history now, has been so minutely and accurately fulfilled that critics of Daniel's prophecy have been forced by the fact that Daniel prophesied so minutely of what would come to pass, they've been forced to say Daniel must have been written after the events of which he prophesies, because no one could possibly prophesy so accurately what would come to pass. And so they are forced to say that Daniel wrote these things after they come to pass, and Daniel therefore is placed by the critics as a very late book, hundreds of years after it was actually written. Because if they acknowledge that he wrote it in 535, that is, this particular section, in 535 to 533 B.C., then they have to acknowledge that Daniel was actuated by supernatural agency in the writing of this prophecy, because no human being could possibly have prophecy fulfilled so minutely. We, of course, who study the Word and know its supernatural character, we know that Daniel wrote by inspiration of the Spirit, and that accounts for the fact that he could accurately prophesy events that were to come and see them fulfilled to the letter, because this is God's Word, and the one who writes it is the one who stands and who knows the beginning from the end, who knows all of history and all of its details. Then, beginning at verse 21, and going through verse 35, Daniel gives us information concerning a particular king whom we have already referred to as Antiochus Epiphanes of Syria. Definite information is given concerning him and his relationship to the nation Israel. And of course, that is the reason why Daniel includes these historical sections. He is dealing with the history of the nations with respect to the nation Israel. And so we have Antiochus Epiphanes, Antiochus the Illustrious. That's what he called himself. He was Antiochus the Illustrious. Those who knew him called him behind his back Antiochus Epimenes, or Antiochus the Madman. But in this particular section, beginning at verse 21 and going through verse 35, we have information that primarily concerns this king of Syria, who lived and, or rather shall I say, who reigned around the years of 175 B.C. to about 164 B.C. Then at verse 35, Daniel passes from Antiochus Epiphanes, the king of Syria, in 165 B.C. approximately. He passes right on to the beginning of the 70th week. Notice that verse. and some of them of understanding shall fall. He is talking about Jews. To try them and to purge them and to make them white, even to the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. Now we get a little clue in this particular section that the time from Antiochus Epiphanes, 165 B.C., until the time in which the last day's events begin to shape up, we get a little clue to the effect that Israel throughout all of this time is to be under great persecution. Some shall be tried, some shall be purged, some shall be made white, even to the time of the end. So that this whole period of time is known as a period of time of persecution, which we know has been fulfilled, all because of their rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now beginning at verse 36, we have the prophecy passing from the time of our Lord's first coming, the time of Antiochus Epiphanes, passing right on to the last week of Daniel's 70 weeks. And here we have events that concern the king, the Antichrist, who shall arise in the 70th week of Israel and shall do great and mighty things in magnification of himself against God and shall eventually come to his end. We've been talking about him now for some time, but we're going to look tonight particularly at this section, and I'm just going to point out several things about this particular section that will add further information about the identity and the general description of the man of sin, the Antichrist, who shall arise. The first thing that we notice is in verse 36 that this one is called the king. Now that is important. If you've been reading along in Daniel's prophecy, you'll remember that he's been talking about a king. And now we read in verse 35, and the king shall do according to his will. Now that definite article is important here for the simple reason that it shows us that the king of whom Daniel is speaking is a king of which he has been speaking previously. So he is referring to what he has previously talked about in the book. The king, that is the king that you know about. And I personally believe, and not all prophetic teachers believe with me on this, and I certainly want to listen to their views, but I personally feel that the king mentioned in chapter 11 is the same king mentioned in chapter 7 and chapter 8. This is the one of whom Daniel has been talking about. He has been looking, so to speak, through a microscope at this king, and he is now down to identifying the person. And so he says, now the king, the one of whom I've been talking about, the one I want you to get a clear picture of, behold, the king shall do according to his will. By the way, in case you're interested in why I think that the king is the same as the king that has been mentioned, I would suggest these things. In the first place, this king of whom he speaks in chapter 11 flourishes at the time of the end, just as do the other kings mentioned in chapter 7 and chapter 8. Then secondly, this king is noted for the fact that he magnifies himself above other beings. And that is a characteristic that pertains to the little horn of Daniel chapter 7 and the little horn of Daniel chapter 8. This is one of the outstanding characteristics of the Antichrist who is to come. He is a person who magnifies himself. In fact, we read that he shall magnify himself above every god. Now, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to 1 John chapter 2 and verse 22.